Hi, I'm John Trope. Today joining me is Dr. Andrew Hayman, who's an integrative medicine specialist from George Washington University. Hi, Andy. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
So today, and in this first part of a three-part series, we'd like to talk a little bit about the approach of integrative medicine, holistic healthcare, and why that's so important in looking at what's usually a series of underlying problems and challenges in the management of the patient. Tell us a little bit about that integrative medicine approach and the, you know, multiple considerations that when a patient presents for whatever the condition is that you're always considering. How do you deliver effective integrative medicine?
So I think it's a really good question, and usually when people consider the idea of integrative medicine, they're usually focusing on some of the exoticness of what's part of our identity, meaning the acupuncture needles or the botanicals, or we do mind-body therapy or manual medicine, which is all interesting in its own right. But what I think is even more important, far more important, is sort of how we think, you know, how we evaluate and look at our patients, which is, you know, very different. I'm an MD by training. I spent 16 years at University of Michigan, specialized in family medicine, primary care, and you learn to think a certain way in terms of sort of diagnostics and disease evaluation and medical care. But what you realize as you sort of broaden your perspective on how do I look at and evaluate patients as I bring in this new sort of integrative model, it means I'm thinking differently and I'm connecting dots differently. I look at data differently. I would consider it much more in sort of, you know, current terms, a clinical systems biology approach, that we're looking for pattern expression at the level of metabolism and using that as a way, as a map, essentially, to determine, you know, where is the patient today, where do I think they're going in the future, and how do I correct these underlying imbalances. We don't want to wait until disease starts. We want to be preventive, we want to be proactive, and we want to have a very precise sort of snapshot of sort of all these different pieces of information, not just how the patient feels, but also good objective markers too. In our space, in our field, you know, one of the subterms I would say is called functional medicine. It's okay, you know, I think it has value for what it is, but it was this notion that we could look a little more deeply at how the body functions and sort of divorce ourselves from disease process altogether. The integrated provider who does this well usually gets pretty good outcomes because we're able to sort of have a much more aligned assessment with the outer disease expression, that we really better understand the exposures, the stress, the immune dysfunction, the, you know, all the pieces that are going into why is this patient sick today. So it's a different way of thinking as much as the toolkit, you know.
It's interesting, you know, if we look back at how clinical care has been approached by traditionally trained practitioners, it's been focused on this concept of health and survival. Mm-hmm. But in the last, let's say, 20 years or so, maybe 25 years, what you just described is becoming more and more important as a holistic view of patient and the opportunity there. So it's more about health and well-being now. Did you see patients early enough where you can capture that bridge from preventive to early disease management, and then integrative medicine approaches that you just described become more effective in that early to mid stage of a condition?
I would say absolutely. You know, my original training when I was 17 years old was in Japanese shiatsu and traditional Chinese medicine. Most of my instructors were from Japan and China. And what's interesting about these Eastern healing arts, or any real sort of traditional healing therapy, is that 3,000 years ago, they didn't have a CT scanner, and they didn't have an EKG machine, and they didn't have blood markers, right? Yeah. So, you know, how do you collect information on a patient that seems somewhat objective, you know, somewhat reliable? And so, you know, we look at things that, for example, you might not look at through a conventional lens. The color of the tongue or the feel of the pulse or these other pieces that we think sort of normally escape a conventional evaluation. All of these little pieces of information matter. And what they tried to do is organize this data into patterns. It was a completely subjective approach. But what they were really trying to do is stem off the progression towards significant illness, because they knew back then their quote-unquote technology, the botanicals and nutrition and my body and needles, you know, if you needed an IC, right? So they were really attuned, you know, to these early changes that were being expressed through the individual and kind of codifying them in certain sort of theoretical frameworks. What's happened more recently, though, is that when you look at their ability to sort of map out these patterns and then sort of where medicine is today in terms of a disease state management approach, what's happening in integrative medicine is where, with new research methods, we're filling in the gap and using a better biological model to explain what these older practitioners were observing for thousands of years, that there were these early changes that were occurring that we can now evaluate and map and measure. So I think we're getting much better at capturing an individual, not just from a subjective experience, but also from a more objective, measured approach. And so this, to me, is really exciting, that we're connecting the dots in a way that we're appreciating sort of this notion of early changes that are going on in a person's health, but bringing a contemporary scientific reality to that. So this blending of the old and the new is becoming quite powerful, and it reflects, I think, a new emerging model in medicine.
To a certain extent, it almost sounds like we're almost going back to the future and how a practitioner might look at a patient. So, you know, a couple centuries ago was about the holistic patient understanding everything that involves their lives and might be a threat to their health. And that takes a very holistic approach, but it's probably embedded into understanding systems, or at least back then, systems of response that today we can describe as systems of biology. And that becomes much more powerful given the technical advances that we have to work with. Are you able to effectively not lose sight of the whole patient on presentation and in the subsequent follow-up exams and still use the great technologies that we have available, especially in the United States healthcare system?
Yeah, I think that's the ultimate goal, is that, you know, for the first time, what I see, even in the regular medical literature, is sort of an appreciation for the interconnectedness of the body, which was almost sort of the starting point for these older healing traditions, that they assumed that we are more like an ecosystem. You know, we are built more like a plant than we are a machine. They just didn't have the technical capacity to understand these interconnections, but they knew that somehow food was linked to how people feel and how they function in the world and whether or not they feel well or they develop disease. And what they really were articulating at a systems level was the interaction between the gut, the immune system, and the nervous system, for example. And so now I can open research articles that talk about the gut-brain axis or the gut-immune-brain axis or the gut-immune axis, that we're beginning to see these sort of biological links that were already recognized, and that they had a framework for saying, well, sure, we need to feed you better. We need to feed your gut with fermented foods and those sorts of things. And we need to do some things to regulate the expression of these symptoms, meaning, let's say, botanicals that help with the immune system side. They already kind of saw the pattern.
Yeah.
We're just kind of filling in the pieces now. And I think that's incredibly exciting. Right.
You know, I can't think of an issue or condition better than, say, inflammation, the underlying inflammation, that helps illustrate and gives us a specific example to what you've just been describing. So underlying inflammation, I think the clinical community can agree, is probably the major underlying cause of the development of chronic disease states. But there's so many parts of the systems that are affected by inflammation. Like, it's a great example. But maybe using that, how would you approach, in a holistic manner, the addition of trying to better understand and then treat inflammation?
Yeah.
And, you know, more recent medical care has been focused on, let's just block it.
Right.
And it's a symptomatic approach. But let's contrast that symptomatic approach to just a simple solution of blocking to how do you treat the overall body and the whole patient?
Yeah. So you know, clearly inflammation is having its day.
Yeah.
You know, people are finally recognizing that it stands at the center of, you know, so many chronic illnesses. But I think we have to be careful with respect to how we first understand the normal divisions of the immune system. And when we evaluate a patient, what part are we in? and what areas have become dysfunctional or abnormal, and I think that often dictates the care that we provide. Are we in the innate side of the immune system, or is it a problem on the adaptive side? You know, is this an autoimmune condition? Is this a process of general inflammation because of a cardiometabolic state? So let's say it's a patient that's overweight, they have a lot of visceral fat, or is there an allergic component versus loss of regulation and loss of healing, which is, you know, would be cancer essentially. So, you know, when I look at patients, I'm thinking in terms of where am I? Is this an unregulated innate immune response? Is this loss of immune tolerance and problems with autoimmunity? Is it a combination of these things? And then what can I bring to bear? And what's amazing to me, and just, you know, just as you say, we don't have a lot of tools in conventional medicine. You know, when I was learning and how I work now, if I'm going to write a prescription, most of the drugs that are on the market now essentially block different expressions of immune activity at some level. You think about aspirin, right? Or an NSAID, or a TNF-alpha blocker. They're all essentially doing the same thing, sort of blocking inflammation production at a certain point of its expression. Yeah. What's amazing about the natural toolkit and the integrative approach overall is that we can influence various components of the immune response and help it to re-regulate itself and restore normal capacity and tone in ways that I can't do with just the prescription pad alone. But you do have to first start with, okay, yes, this is an immune dysfunction, it's a problem of inflammation, but where am I in this process, and then what are my tools that I can bring to bear?
Yeah, great. It seems like there's a lot to learn and a lot to experience. What advice or recommendations would you give to that practitioner who either wants to begin learning about integrative medicine or who is already practicing it but wants to do a lot more of it and even maybe become even more effective than they already are? Any suggestions on approaches, coursework? Where do you go to learn and capture new information?
Well, I'll tell you, the world has changed in this regard. There are more and more educational opportunities for providers than there ever were. There are lots of private organizations that offer relatively high-level educational experiences. There are often local workshops that are sponsored by supplement companies and lab testing companies. And then, you know, where I have had much of my focus is in university-based education. So, you know, I run now a master's program at George Washington University in integrative medicine. So we're training healthcare providers to expand their perspective and formalize their knowledge on integrative care. I can tell you, even 5 years ago, to think that a university would confer a master's level degree in the subject is unheard of. And so it really shows the progression of the field. I think one of the things that can be confusing to providers is the terminology in the space. So you hear things like integrative and functional and anti-aging. Are they the same? Are they different? What do I get out of each of them that might, you know, sort of meet my personal needs? I tend to gravitate towards integrative. I think it's the most appropriate. It's the one that's actually been adopted by most universities to sort of describe this approach. I think it's the most evidence-based, but it's still immature, and it has a lot of room to sort of grow and become, you know, a really sort of formalized specialty of part of all kind of healthcare in a sense. So I don't think that there's any lack of, you know, educational opportunities, but you do have to spend some time and commit yourself because the evidence base has grown. And so there's a lot to know and a lot to learn. There are now textbooks out there on integrative medicine, and as I said, whole training. No, I think for anyone that wants to do this, there's a lot of opportunity here.
Right. And it doesn't mean by adapting, say, a systems approach or integrative medicine approach that you're compromising evidence base or the strength of a clinical insight or the strength of the underlying clinical science. It just means more effective utilization of all the tools in the healthcare arsenal.
That's right. Right. Yeah, that's right. And certainly, you know, I'll give you an example of that. When we were beginning to assemble our curriculum at George Washington University for the master's program, the curriculum committee provided early feedback saying, are you going to have enough evidence-based material to create an entire master's program at the level that we would expect? And when we submitted our our curriculum dossier to the committee, they were in shock. First of all, they said they'd never seen such a thick application before, and they were surprised by the detail. And it just shows that, sure, there's plenty of good evidence now that would satisfy criteria at the sort of highest academic levels.
Yeah. Well, great. It's an exciting time to be in healthcare. It's even a more exciting time to be in integrative medicine and holistic healthcare. So thanks very much. I'm John Trope with Dr. Andrew Heyman talking about integrative medicine and improved patient outcomes. Thanks.